Psalm 92, hear the word of the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish, all evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Thus ends the reading of God's word. The grass withers and the flowers of the field fade away, but this is the word of God, and God's word stands forever. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing upon the ministry of the word to our hearts tonight. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we bow before you with thanksgiving for your mercy to us day by day. Thank you for your mercies to us in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you've seen us through another day. We thank you that you are the Lord who reigns over all things. And even when we hear discouraging word, discouraging news, Lord, we know that you are able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or think. Lord, we have confessed that already this evening, that we pray to one who's able to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. And so, Lord, we commit to you our lives, our loved ones, those who are going through difficulties and trials, those, Lord, who are facing the loss of a job or sickness. We pray that you would draw near to those whom we care for and love, who are facing burdens this week. We pray you would have mercy on them and provide for them and bless them. We thank you, Lord, for the many visitors whom you brought this morning. We thank you for the way that you've drawn back more tonight. We pray, Lord, for your blessing upon us as we open your word, that you would give us a hunger and thirst to know you. We pray, Lord, that this would not just be something we do with our lips, but truly in our hearts, we would desire to walk with you and to know you better day by day. We ask, Lord, your blessing on the ministry of the word tonight to us, that it would bear much fruit, and that we would think on these things and meditate on these truths, and that Christ would truly be here in this room shepherding his people. We ask, Lord, that you would make us to be flourishing believers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know how sometimes you read a verse in the Bible and it just hits you a certain way, like as if you'd never read it before, even though you're sure you've read through that portion of the Bible before. And yet, sometimes the verse just seems to jump off the page. You chew on it and you start thinking about it and you roll it over in your mind and it convicts you and challenges you and the truth of it searches your heart or it gives you great encouragement. That's what happened with me not long ago with this latter half of Psalm 92, verses 12 and 13 and 14. Not that I'm just thinking about palm trees now, as this talks about the righteous flourishing like a palm tree now that we live back in Florida. Flourishing in the courts of the Lord, verse 13. But this one, they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green, or fresh and green, as the NIV says. This truly is a great song, this psalm, a song for the church today. Wonderful truths to reflect on and think on. I suppose one of the reasons that this verse hit me so much was because Donna and I were two weeks ago now in Haiti, and we were staying with our missionary friends, the Hoffs, looking out over the Bay of Gonâve in central Haiti, out to the island of La Gonâve, where I served as a student, there back 33 years ago now, in school, on a little village that you can see from the mainland. You can see where I was. I was 19 at the time, and now 30 years have gone by. 33 years have gone by. It's amazing to think about how fast that goes. What will I be doing 33 years from now? I'll be in my mid-80s. That's hard to imagine. What kind of person will I be? That will come soon. It seems like just a blink that I was there back in my college years. What kind of person will I be? Have you ever thought about that? What will I be like as I draw near to my final days? Will I be a flourishing person still? Will I be full of sap and green? Will I be bearing fruit for the Lord? I want to approach this verse with three questions. And you can find them on the back side of your evening bulletin here tonight. Three questions. What does a flourishing Christian look like? What's the opposite of a flourishing Christian? And how can I prepare myself to be a flourishing Christian in old age, so I can be a flourishing Christian all my life? First, though, a couple explanatory notes on the words here in the text. The author of this psalm is unknown. We don't know for sure who wrote Psalm 92. The occasion for the psalm, as you see in the heading, is a psalm for the Sabbath. That is a psalm for the Lord's Day, a psalm to reflect on the Lord's Day, the day of rest and refreshment. The Hebrew word that's translated in the NIV and in the ESV as old age, the Hebrew word is literally gray hair. I think in the King James it says hoary hair, H-O-A-R-Y, hoary hair. And the word fresh or full of sap is literally fat. Not meaning chubby, heaven forbid, no, but rather speaking of the cedar of a palm tree, or the center of a palm tree, full of life and vigor, a tree fresh and green. So what does a fresh and green, flourishing Christian look like? What does a fresh and green look like in someone? Well, I suggest to you from the text that someone who's fresh and green is full of the joy of the Lord. Verse 4 says, "You, O Lord, have made me glad. You've made me glad by your work, and I will sing the works of your hands. I will sing for joy." Someone who lives this psalm, I would suggest to you, is one who's fresh and green. One who says, it is good to praise the Lord. It's good to be back together with God's people again and singing to the Lord. And not only do they say it, but they mean it. And they tell others of God's goodness and love. Someone who is thankful. Someone who remains thankful for the little things in life, not taking anything for granted, thankful to God for life and food and clothing and family and relationships, full of the joy of the Lord, even when hardships come, when the hardships of life come, that you see God's gracious hand of blessing even in the trials and hardships of life, like David does in Psalm 119. If you have your Bible still open, turn to the right, just a few chapters to Psalm 119. This is a psalm that I often use, have used for years, particularly with those whom I speak to in jail. Psalm 119, verses 67 and 71. Or for those who are going through trials and affliction. Psalm 119, verses 67 and 71. 67 says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I obey your word, or I keep your word. In Psalms 119, verse 71, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your decrees. You see, one who is fresh and green and full of the joy of the Lord realizes that even when affliction comes, God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. He's able to use it even for good. Someone who's full of the joy of the Lord and still tender about the things of God, who sees God's faithfulness in everything, still hopeful, expecting God to do great things, like Simeon. I suggest you Simeon that you read about in the early chapters of Luke, who's waiting in the temple for the coming of the Messiah. Remember, he was one who was full waiting for the consolation of Israel. And when he finally sees Mary and Joseph come, he knows that this is the Messiah. And he thanks the Lord that he's finally been able to see the hope of Israel. One who's full of the joy of the Lord, and that joy comes from a living and active relationship with God. Not just an idea about God that's far off, but walking with the Lord still. Trusting in Him still in old age. Thinking about Him. Praying to Him. Thinking about His works. Looking back over the span of your life and being thankful to God for what He's done. How great are your works, O Lord, the psalmist says here in verse 5. Not oblivious to temptation or trouble, but rather one who's fresh and green and realizes that God is greater, and He will use trouble that He's even in the future for my good. This is the one who, when suffering comes, brings it before the Lord, places it in His hands, and then says to those who are watching your life, you say, "The Lord is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness or wickedness in Him." You know, when troubles come to Christians, the outsiders, those who are outside the faith, they watch you, right? They want to see, now how is he or she going to respond to this? Are they going to still praise the Lord? And that's what Job's wife wanted, right? She said, just curse God and die, Job. Job says, no, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. The Lord is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. This was the example, I think, that you see in Moses. Even at the end of his life, in old age, you see that in the latter chapters of the book of Deuteronomy. Though he was disciplined by God, not allowed to go into the promised land, Moses, the meekest man, he still praises God. Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 and 4, he says, "I will proclaim the name of the Lord and ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he." You see, it's one who's walking with the Lord still, all the days of your life, happy in the Lord's blessings, saying God is good. What does fresh and green look like? What does a flourishing Christian look like? It's one who's still bearing fruit. The text says here, they will still bear fruit in old age. Verse 14. That is, not retiring from the use of the gifts that God has given you. It is good to praise the Lord. And here is one of the results. It will affect your whole life. In old age, the one who is fresh and green is still looking for ways to serve the Lord. You're still looking for ways to use your spiritual gifts, to bless others, still recognizing that the Lord has blessed you in order to be a blessing. That scripture passage which says, so that the body of Christ might be built up. Why is that passage there? It's speaking of the gifts that God has given to His people. So that the older men look at the younger men and see an opportunity. The older women look at the younger women as their responsibility and their opportunity to shepherd them in the Lord. One who is full of sap, fresh and green, is one who is full of fruit, strong and stately, flourishing like one of those majestic royal palm trees, even in drought, full of the joy and love of the Lord, peace and patience and increasing in these things. Those who see their life story, their life history, has a purpose. And that is that they might be a blessing to others. I can testify that I'm in ministry today because God particularly used two people. One man in his late 60s and my great aunt who was in her 80s as an influence on my life to lead me and to direct me into the ministry and encourage me, not to mention the godly example of my grandparents serving for years in the Lord's church in their little town in Missouri, year after year. We go back to visit even in my college years. I'd go back, my grandpa would be out front picking dandelions out of the yard, and my grandmother would be inside playing the organ. I can picture them having devotions with them when we would go to their home. They were godly people. Even when my grandmother didn't even recognize me and who I was, as dementia set in, she knew she was supposed to know me. I sure hope I'm like that. And she would say things like, "Oh, it's just wonderful to see you. God is so good to me." That's what I want to be like if I ever lose my mind. You know, that I would still be positive and blessing others and thankful to the Lord, even though she didn't even know my name, my own grandmother. The text says they are fresh and green or full of sap and green. One who's bearing fruit, they still see work to be done. They still desire the Lord to use them. The Word of God says, from Him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You see, the fresh and green Christian sees no expiration date on the commands of God to be fruit-bearing. That you still have a responsibility to do your part. You want your life to count more and more, even to the end. That you're praying and encouraging and cheering others on. You want your life to count right up to the day that the Lord calls you home. You realize what Jesus said pertains to you still, no matter what age you are. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. There's no expiration date on that. Thirdly, what does fresh and green mean? What does it look like? What does it mean to be a flourishing Christian? Well, it's one who's still growing. One who's still growing. That you're humble. That you're teachable. You want to learn. You recognize that the well of God's truth in the Scriptures is so deep, there's always more to learn. So you come with humility before the Lord. You just want to sit at the feet of Christ. And you want to grow. As one author said, the child of God is more earnest as his redemption draws near. He wants to know God better. Remember, Paul said, I want to know Christ and Him crucified. I think I mentioned this with the men in the Bible study, that one of my last conversations I had with my great aunt, who had been a missionary in China and in a prison camp under the Japanese in her 80s, just before she died, she said to me, "Oh, Ricky, never stop learning." She still called me Ricky, but she's the only one who could get away with it. "Oh, Ricky, never stop learning. Never stop growing." The fresh and green one says, "Oh, Lord, teach me to follow your decrees, and I will keep them to the end." So that's what fresh and green looks like. If that's what a flourishing Christian looks like, what's the opposite? What's the opposite? Well, stale and withered, right? Bitter and mean. Old and cranky. And you probably met people like that, right? Grumpy and fruitless. That's the image that comes to mind as I think about Walt Disney films from my childhood, the old cartoons of Walt Disney. You know, the older people in Walt Disney films are all hunched over, they're old and cranky and mean. That's the opposite of the fresh and green, fruit-bearing, full of sap Christian. What's the opposite of fresh and green? Well, in terms of relationship with God, instead of being full of the joy of the Lord, instead of walking in a living relationship with God, they become bitter and sour and are full of ingratitude and are gloomy and grouchy and are characterized more with complaining and grumbling than thankfulness. And as they've grown older, they've grown further from the Lord, neglecting the means of grace, that is, the fellowship with God's people, the Word of God, and prayer and worship. And too many times they've allowed the sun to go down on their anger. And they've not dealt with things. They've buried their anger. They've buried resentment in their hearts. So there's a root of bitterness that grows and spreads. And so when they see others doing well, when they see enemies or their enemies, the enemies of God, getting away with things and succeeding for a time, there's no sense of God's perspective of how the wicked will one day have to give an account. Instead, they blame God and they see God as not being fair. And their cup is not just half empty, it's mostly empty. Covetousness runs its course. And so in old age, instead of saying, as the text says here, "You have made me glad by the works of your hands," this one says, "Lord, you have made me annoyed. You have made me annoyed by all the things you haven't done for me." There are difficulties, but this one sees everything as unjust and unfair that God would even allow it. What's the opposite of fresh and green, full of sap and green and flourishing in old age? Well, in the terms of church life within the body of Christ, they've checked out. They no longer see that they need to do anything for the Lord. They believe the lie of the devil that they are of no use, they're too old, nobody cares about them. Their children or grandchildren have become a burden to them. The children of the church certainly have. And there's no future that they see there. No sense of usefulness to others. No desire to serve. Impatient with others. Mean and surly and cynical and suspicious. And you probably met people like that. So there's no fruit at all to speak of. The tree is barren and empty. And in terms of spiritual growth, what's the attitude? The attitude is, "I've heard it all before. I've heard it all before. Nothing can be taught to me." And so the Lord's day is a burden. It's a burden and a chore. You can't stop aging, but you can stop growing. You can stop growing in the Lord. The one who is not fresh and green has lost any sense that they need to change anything, and it's a pitiful sight. So as I thought about this verse and reflecting over the past 30 years, as I mentioned at the beginning, and thinking, what will I be like 30 years from now in my early to mid 80s? And thinking of the imagery here of one who's flourishing fresh and green in old age and its opposite, I started making a list. How can I prepare myself now? How can you prepare yourself now so that you will be flourishing all the days of your life? So that you will be full of sap and green. I want you to think about this. You can just use these as a starter for yourself, and maybe you can think about this the rest of the week. The Puritans used to say, you can improve on the sermon yourself. Go home and improve on it, build on it. Yes, there will be many trials and troubles and oppositions and heartaches and disappointments and hindrances as you grow old. We live in a world that's full of sin and sickness. But it is possible. That's what I want you to take from this tonight. It's possible to remain fresh and green, full of joy in the Lord. I sincerely ask you tonight, do you want that for yourself? Do you want that? How does that happen? Well, first of all, who are the ones who flourish? What does it say in verse 12? Who are the ones who flourish? It's the righteous. The righteous. Well, who are the righteous? Who are the righteous? What does the Word of God say? We interpret Scripture with Scripture. How do you become one of the righteous before God? What does the Apostle Paul say? There is a righteousness that is from God by faith. He says in Romans 3, there is no one righteous, no, not even one. That is, we cannot make ourselves righteous before God. We need the righteousness of another. Who are the righteous? It's those who received the righteousness which is by faith. Abraham believed God and he was declared, it was credited to him as righteousness. He received a righteousness that covered him. by faith. His sin was laid on the Savior to come, and he received the righteousness of God as a gift. Who are the righteous? It's those who believe in Christ, who recognize, I am unrighteous in myself. I need the righteousness of the Savior to cover me so that I can stand before a holy God. Who are the ones who flourish? It's the righteous. It's those who by faith look to the righteousness of another and continue in Christ, daily confessing Him, keeping going back to the gospel, to the basics, going back to the beginning, back to where you started. Saying, oh Lord, have mercy on me today. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Before my younger brother passed away, I remember Mark and I sat with a relative from his wife's side of the family, who was one who was a picture of this, fresh and green in old age. And we sang for him a song, and I played on the piano and Mark played on the guitar. We played How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Wonderfully rich hymn. How deep the Father's love for us, that He would make a wretch His treasure. It's full of God's grace to us in Christ. And what was the reaction of this dear gray-haired saint? It was tears streaming down his face. As he said, I'm so thankful for God's mercy. For God's mercy to me. Who are the ones who flourish? It's the righteous. So how do you prepare to be fresh and green? Well, second thing is, this is a song for the Sabbath. Psalm 92 is. This is a psalm for the Sabbath. I encourage you to follow God's pattern for rest and worship. There are long-term benefits to taking the Lord's Day as a gift to you, to bless you. It's not to be a burden. It's not to be a burden. It's to be a gift. I know people who grew up with Sunday as a burden and a chore of all the things that they couldn't do. We should look at it as a gift. This is God's gift to you. We're to make the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, a delight. This is what God gives us to restore our body and soul. We're to enjoy the presence of God. We should prepare for it. We should work at singing, preparing our heart to worship God. We should prepare our body. We should take a nap. Use the Lord's Day as a day to rest and be refreshed and be thankful. You can take a nap and not feel guilty. That's one of the things. I didn't grow up as a Sabbath observer. I came to understand that God has given us the Sabbath as a gift. It's a blessing. We can relish in it. We can delight in it. Thirdly, the tree that is here mentioned is planted in the house of the Lord. How can you prepare now to be a flourishing Christian? Well, make sure you're planted in the house of the Lord. Make sure that's where you are, in good soil, part of an active family of God, involved in a church around all ages of the body of Christ, committed to the church, with roots going down deep, receiving the Word of God and nourishment for your soul, so that you are surrounded also by those who are feeding on the Word of God. How can you have a prepare now to be fresh and green? Fourthly, you need to have a proper view of the wicked and of evil, which is mentioned here in verses 6 through 11. There is terrible evil out there, and you will from time to time be a victim of evil. And there will be times where people will get away with it. For now. For now. Sometimes evil people flourish and prosper. Sometimes they succeed. Sometimes they carry the day. Sometimes they get away with it. Sometimes they persecute the righteous. So how can you not become bitter when evil people flourish? Well, what does Psalm 92 say? Remember the end. Behold, your enemies, Lord, shall perish. You see, it's only for a season. They're like grass. In the end, God wins. There is a day when Christ will come back and everything will be set right. The wicked will not prevail before God's throne. They will perish because He's just. The fifth way to prepare now is to be very careful for all the hindrances that are there for fruit bearing. You think of the parable of the sower that went out to sow the seed. What are the things that keep the Word of God from bearing fruit in that parable, the parable of the sower? Lack of understanding, trouble, worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for things. Or as the writer to the Hebrews warns us, don't allow a root of bitterness to grow up within you. You choke out the grace of God. Lastly, how can you prepare now to be a flourishing Christian all your life? You need a proper view of growing old. That you want your life to count more and more, knowing that God has a place for you and a use for you. And the older you get, the more responsibility that you have, that we have for those in the generations to follow. So study the lives of those who are fresh and green in old age, bearing fruit, rejoicing in the Lord, and ask yourself what makes them so. What is their secret? I want to be like them. And study the lives of those who are stale and withered. You know, those who are bitter and cranky that you've known. They're grumpy and fruitless. Why should you do that? Well, because there's an implied warning here. A warning about growing old without the joy of the Lord. You think about what awaits you. It's not a pleasant experience. It's not a life that's fresh and green. And lastly, I say as we close, go back and check the foundation. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, so that in your old age you may be fresh and green. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. These things I've spoken to you that your joy may be full. You need the Lord. You need to walk with the Lord. You need Christ. You need to abide with him. Walk with him. Thank him. Praise him. Confess to him. Call on his name day after day, day by day. May the Lord bless you as you seek to honor him as one who is fresh and green and flourishing in the house of the Lord. Let us pray.